This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter at the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and he joins us on Monday afternoons to talk about a host of politically related issues. Happy Monday, Bob.
Happy Monday. Great to join you.
How was your weekend?
Very nice. Beautiful weekend. Good football game. Virginia eked it
out. Did you go?
No. I was home hosting a newsroom party that evening.
Eke is the right word. They did eke it out, didn't
17
they?
17-16. You know, thanks to a couple of bad snaps and a few other miscues on the other side.
Yeah. It was a full house over there and a very busy weekend. Allison got out at one point and called me and she said, you would not believe the traffic out here.
Yeah.
With homecoming. It was just crazy.
Perfect weekend for that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Where should we start? How about we start with your column?
Okay. That was about the libertarians and their advertising. And I think people will find advertising by libertarian candidates a pleasant contrast to a lot of the ads that you see on TV and get in the mail and hear on the radio from Republicans and Democrats.
They're very different, aren't they?
They are. They're entirely issue-oriented. They're very positive and they're straightforward. And they don't attempt to raise your emotional hackles by finding some small ideological thing that you might disagree with and hammering it as people often do with their opponents' voting records.
Yeah, they're very Sorensen-like, for lack of a better word here. They really
are. They are.
They're ethical and they're issue-focused, and you don't see somebody saying, oh, I think, you know, Joe Jones is a jerk, and he did this, and he didn't pay his taxes. And
2007 might be the year that people start noticing this trend in Libertarian Party advertising, because Ron Paul, who is really a libertarian, but he's in the Republican field for president, has raised significant amounts of money, and I think is going to have some money for TV, some money for mass advertising. He's an interesting candidate on the Republican side. He doesn't get a lot of time in the mass media because he's not a front runner. He's not up there with Giuliani and Thompson and, you know, the top three or four. But he is, when it comes to money, almost up there.
How is he doing in the debates, you think?
I think he comes across as very straightforward. I think he has a philosophy that is, you know, as most libertarians, small government. And it's probably appealing to Democrats for some reasons and to Republicans for other reasons.
Yeah. And also we have our own local libertarian, Aaron Syme, who has, of course, been on this program a number of times, is running for a Senate seat.
Aaron is a very straightforward candidate as a Crozet resident, libertarian for the state Senate, running against Emmett Hanger, who held on in his Republican primary back in June and is now in a three-way race with David Cox, the Democrat, Emmett Hanger, the Augusta County Republican, and the tip of Western Albemarle, where Aaron Syme lives, in the 24th, as well as Greene County. So he has come up with a TV commercial that is relentlessly positive and issue-oriented and message-oriented. And I think people, when it comes on local television in the last week of the campaign, people will find it refreshing, because it's so straightforward, so honest, and so positive.
You know what? And I have to say, personally, I like Aaron very much and consider him a friend, just to say that up front. He's a very, very, very good guy. And I think Virginia would be well served if he wins. But I'm not endorsing him. I just wanted to get that out there. I went and saw the commercial online as a result of saw it in your column and went and looked at it. And you know, one of the greatest things I loved about it was not Aaron. It wasn't the candidate. I mean, he only had a few seconds at the end.
Yeah, a bunch of local couples making remarks on his behalf about issues that they really care about.
Yeah, I really like that. Like, just people sitting in their living rooms or their front porches saying, hey, this is why I'm going to vote for Aaron Syme. This is why I support a libertarian in this day and age. And I thought that was really sort of refreshing to see that, to see voters talking for a change.
Sylvia Barrett, an Earliesville woman with a couple of young kids she homeschools, talking about it's time to empower parents with choice in education. You know, it's a theme. It's an issue theme ad. And libertarian themes are finally getting some exposure in the advertising, and it's a pleasant alternative to a lot of what we see from the two major parties.
What's your read on the advertising from the primary two parties that you've seen so far?
Well,
whether local or for
the only race in our area that has significant amounts of money flowing into it, and the money is now reaching the $500,000 mark, is the race between Connie Brennan and Watkins Abbott in the 59th House of Delegates District. Thanks to redistricting, the rest of our House races are not competitive, but that one is. And at least in terms of the money that's flowing into it, Connie Brennan has raised, as of the end of September, about $283,000. And Watkins Abbott has raised, as of the end of September, about $245,000.
It's getting to be like a Northern Virginia race.
Well,
you know?
It is in terms of its money. It's a huge district. It covers southern Albemarle, parts of southern Albemarle, all of Nelson, all of Buckingham, parts of Fluvanna, and goes down into Appomattox County. So in Cumberland, and it's huge. It's just the largest land area house district in Virginia. There's no good TV market to cover it. There's no good radio market to cover it. You've got to buy a lot of advertising and send a lot of mail if you're going to cover that district. And Connie Brennan entered the district, entered the race as a Nelson County supervisor, not well known outside of Nelson County. She's worked as a nurse in Charlottesville for more than 20 years, but the rest of the district did not know Connie Brennan. So she had to make herself known, and has done that through a series of mostly mail ads that are attacking her opponent's record, which is fair game. But, you know, they're attacking on specific votes, like he didn't vote for a program to allow the elderly to live in their homes. You know, that would have been a budget vote that came on the floor, and he voted with a Republican majority to not expand that program. That's the kind of advertising. It's very narrowly focused, narrowly tailored to certain specific votes. Watkins Abbott has TV ads up, shows him campaigning on Virginia values. You know, he's against illegal immigration. He's against gay marriage. These are the values that he's putting out in his TV ads.
And technically, he's an incumbent. I'm sorry, technically, he's an independent by party.
Right.
And what, a 20-plus year incumbent?
22 years in the House. He was a Democrat until they redistricted last time in 2001. They gave him an alternative. If he left the Democratic Party, he might end up with a nicer district. And he left the Democratic Party and ended up with a very nice district. So he is running as an independent who doesn't caucus with but usually votes with the House Republicans.
It's staggering. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, online at dailyprogress.com. Bob, it's staggering, don't you think, to see that kind of money raised for a rural, big though it is, rural district Senate race?
$500,000 for one House of Delegates
race. It's a House of Delegates race,
House of Delegates race. Now, there aren't that many competitive House races in Virginia. You know, David Toscano is running unopposed. Rob Bell is running unopposed. Within 50 miles of Charlottesville, that is the competitive House race, if you look at the money.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've been watching this for a long time. Give us some perspective. It wasn't just a few years ago where, I mean, there's the money that's spent on a House of Delegates race is nothing. It was nothing compared to this.
Well, part of it is redistricting. Part of it is because the districts are so heavily stacked to one party or the other. David Toscano has a district that no Republican's going to win. Rob Bell has a district that's going to be very difficult for any Democrat to win. I mean, it's a very Republican 58th House district in Albemarle Green.
Orange.
Parts of Orange, yeah. Parts of Fluvanna. And he hasn't been challenged because it's such a tough district for a Democrat. Well, the money starts flowing into the 14 races that are seen as competitive, and there are only about 14 of them in the state. Probably fewer than that are truly competitive within 10 points.
So the parties, the state parties really sort of pick where they want to put their money, and there's very few places where it could go.
There are really only a dozen races for the House of Delegates that are competitive enough to attract that kind of money.
Let's continue our discussion with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Speaking of John Hager and the Republican Party of Virginia, they had a very, very big meeting on Saturday. Their central committee, about 80 people got together and made a very important decision.
They voted 47-37 to hold a convention next spring instead of a primary to choose the opponent for the Democrats, Mark Warner, who is the all but certain Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate seat that John Warner is retiring from. So it's going to be Mark Warner, former governor, against the winner of the convention on the Republican side. And that convention is an advantage, seen as an advantage to Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia, before Mark Warner. Gilmore wanted a convention. His only really likely opponent for the Republican nomination, Tom Davis, congressman from Fairfax County, wanted a primary. And the party, as we knew it would, went with a convention.
And we knew it looked like it was close, though, 47-30.
No,
that's close.
It's 10 votes out of 80-some is, you know, it's It's not exactly a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
John Hager's election was a cliffhanger.
Right, right. Nobody, and that was very close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was two votes.
So you weren't surprised then by what happened on Saturday?
No,
you sort of knew going in that they would probably
fully expecting a convention instead of a primary because the party prefers to have its party activists be the most active in nominating candidates. They don't want to have an open primary that would be open to Democrats, Republicans, independents, and people who wandered in off the street.
Didn't some court just say that that was unconstitutional or something?
Well, it has been. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that there are flaws with that primary, and they're giving more power to the party to limit who votes in the primary. But it hasn't been a hard and fast rule yet that in every case it will be a closed primary. We have to change the state law for that.
So if Tom Davis and his people, of course, quite disappointed by this decision on Saturday by the Republican Party of Virginia.
Well, Tom Davis has not formally announced that he's a candidate yet for the U.S. Senate seat that John Warner is retiring from next year. There's a chance that he will back out and decide not to run, especially if his wife, State Senator Jean Marie Develites Davis, loses her bid for re-election to the State Senate from her Vienna, Northern Virginia district.
Another close race.
Another close race. Chap Peterson, the Democrat, is believed to be leading in that in some polls.
So give us a timeline. They make a decision here on Saturday, October 13th, that they're going to have...
A late May convention.
It's late May then.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that work? That same group gets back together or...
No. That's only 80 people. Every city and county in Virginia will have a mass meeting to elect delegates to the state Republican nominating convention. And, you know, there'll be several hundred people in Albemarle who will show up and will... elect delegates from Albemarle County to go to the state convention, and some of them will be for Tom Davis, and some of them will be for Jim Gilmore.
And that likely will likely then see as a result a Jim Gilmore candidacy.
Well, I'm not sure he's going to win the nomination. I mean, Jim Gilmore is not the slam dunk favorite among all Virginia conservatives. He had a mixed record as governor. He left as a less than fully popular governor. You know, with a budget mess on his hands and the inability to compromise with his own party in the General Assembly.
And the Republicans have to be looking at the polls for whatever they're worth. In a poll, if it was Mark Warner versus Jim Gilmore for Senate, Mark Warner right now is at 61% to Gilmore's 31.
You've been reading the Washington Post. That's the Post poll over the weekend showed Warner up by 30 points.
That's incredibly significant.
Well, it's a big margin, but, you know, we're more than a year out. We're 13 months away from the election in November of 2008.
And I heard Jim Gilmore speak recently, and he really, truly believes, and more power to him, and who knows, he could be right, that he could beat Mark Warner for Senate.
Yeah, and I think Tom Davis believes he can beat Jim Gilmore in a convention. So I think each of those two Republicans has taken the measure of the other and said, I can take him.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper and online as well at dailyprogress.com. What is the recent passing of Joanne Davis, the first... woman Republican in the U.S. Congress here from Virginia. She recently passed away, lost a battle against cancer.
Yeah, a 2-year battle with lung cancer. She is going to be probably replaced by her husband, Chuck Davis, who announced over the weekend that he is running for the nomination for the Republican Party in the 1st Congressional District. That's Tidewater, basically from Hampton and Newport News North, all the way through the Northern Neck up into the Fredericksburg
area. Very conservative district.
It's a very Republican district. She's held it without any problem. He is very likely to win the Republican nomination and go on and take the seat back, keep it in the family and in the party in the special election that the governor has to call probably for December of this year.
So there'll be a special election in December and then the regular election, because she was up in November of 2008. There'll be another one then right after that.
Right. When all 435 House seats are up, that one will be up. This will be a special low turnout election, special election in December. The date the governor is probably about to set in the next several days.
Bob, you covered you don't cover local races usually, but you did cover a local, what was it,
We had a forum,
at
the Northside Library last Wednesday afternoon at which two candidates for countywide office, 16-year prosecutor Jim Kemblos and Denise Lunsford, who is his Democratic challenger, squared off. And that was rather a heated exchange between the two of them.
Really?
Because Denise came out swinging and saying that there are rape victims, sexual assault victims at the University of Virginia who were not treated very well by the county prosecutor's office, that inappropriate questions were asked of them, that they, and Jim denies this. Jim, the Republican, Jim Kambla, says, no, my office has never been rude and mistreated sexual assault victims. So there's a factual difference or a difference of interpretation, because these assault victims walked away from that office quite unhappy,
wow,
according to Denise Lunsford. And she's saying that, you know, were she elected, there was a question asked of her at this forum, you know, what would you do differently? And she said, I would train my office so that they are fully trained and well handling victims of crime, especially sexual assaults. And she also said that, you know, there are other things she would train her office so that never do county prosecutors go to court unprepared. She said there are cases where they interview sheriff's deputies and police officers and other witnesses right before a trial and clearly haven't read some of the things that they have to read before trial. And she said, you know, she'll prepare her employees so that they go to trial fully prepared. That's the kind of thing that county prosecutors' races turn on. It's, you know, Jim has been in the office for 16 years. A lot of people know him. A lot of people like him. A lot of people have had problems with certain cases in that office.
He seems to be sort of like a Hillary Clinton type of figure, very polarizing. People love him or hate him. There doesn't seem to be a lot of middle of the road when it comes to Jim Kambla's.
I think it's going to be an interesting election in the county. Now, there were other candidates at this forum. Chip Harding and Larry Clater, the two candidates for sheriff countywide, were there. Each of them has 30-year-plus credentials in law enforcement in the area. That should be an interesting race. But I think the hottest race in the county right now is between county prosecutor Jim Kambla's and Denise Lunsford, his challenger.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.